Good morning. So this little guy, it's my aloe vera plant, and he was given to me a few years ago by a friend at Manor, and someone asked me after first hour, I think it was a like pre-2020 gift. So he's a few years old, and he was given to me, and he's in a leftover craft pot from, I believe, a children's ministry activity that it never got used. And for literally years now, my little aloe vera plant has had dying spikes, appendages. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest, what they're called. But the plant seemed healthy when it arrived in my care, and then quickly began to die a bit of a slow death. And it's okay, you can laugh, they did first hour. Sadly, I'm clearly not much of a gardener. And what puzzled me about him is that he wouldn't die, and that he didn't die, but he never grew either. And I debated what to do with this plant for years, and never really took action on it until a few weeks ago. And I decided, you know what, I think I'm just going to try to prune him and see what happens. So I pinched off three of the dying appendages with my fingers one day. He lives in the windowsill at the church, in the staff kitchen. If anyone ever wants to go check on him, he's always over there. And so about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I decided, you know what, if it dies, it dies. Because at this point, I'm not sure that it's really going to grow anymore either. Pinched off three of the appendages or spikes and kind of waited to see what was going to happen. Some of us joked in the kitchen pretty frequently about my sad little, I think maybe 4-year-old aloe plant here. And finally the day came, pinched it off, and I'm not kidding or exaggerating, it was less than a week. And then all of a sudden, new spikes started. So if you look in the slides, you can see there's one tall, and if you squint, you might be able to see. This is one of the appendages that's left from how I originally received it, and it actually, I think, might be ready to fall off right now. It's flimsy, and it's not super healthy, but these guys in here, the new life, they're juicy, and I can envision myself like breaking one off and putting it on a burn at some point. I think they're going to have aloe in them. But a few days. That's all it took after it was pruned, just a smidgen with my fingers pinching off the unhealthy spikes for new life. And it was a simple act, and I changed nothing else. Still lives in the same windowsill, still gets watered mostly frequently on somewhat of a routine. I don't know that any of us here are truly gardeners, but nothing else changed for this plant other than a simple pruning. And now it has, I think I counted earlier, 10 new spikes. And I'm not sure if propagated is the word, but there's actually a new little aloe plant coming out over on the side. There's another one came out. So why am I talking about pruning and gardening this morning? As we dive into John chapter 15, we read, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you." So in this metaphor, Jesus is teaching us that Christ is the vine. Christ is the vine that bears so much fruit, a vine that has so many branches. And God is the ultimate gardener that cares for those branches. And if you're not a metaphorical or visual person, spoiler alert, we are the branches. Those who follow him are the branches. And we're told that we have already been pruned to bear fruit, to be productive. We've been given this great message and this great example in Jesus. And this is wonderful, life-changing news. We have this tremendous opportunity to really follow Christ and be fruitful believers as we live in him and as we live in his gracious love. His love is life-changing, and we can receive it and let it flow through every element of who we are and how we live. And yet we have this active role, serving as willing vessels. We have an active role in choosing to follow him with all that we are, so that we don't become unproductive, spiritually dead, and tossed aside. Here in John's gospel, Jesus is saying that there's two types of pruning, cutting off and cutting back. And as Christ followers, it's an important distinction to be made spiritually, and it's also really practical. Life can be rough sometimes. It's bursting at the seams, full of good times, full of trials, twists and turns and highs and lows. We deal with unexpected challenges and hurts. Sometimes we fail at the things we really want to be good at. Things don't go the way that we plan. And really, these kind of scenarios are often the circumstances that trigger us to prune. Things aren't going the way we want. It leads us to cut off or cut back in our own lives. So at times we have to let go of what is dying or dead. It might be our failures, it might be our sin, the unhealthy parts of our lives. We leave them behind and find new life in his love. And there are certainly circumstances of all kinds that lead us to a necessary cutting off or cutting back. So cutting off is getting rid of the unhealthy, infected, and unproductive. And you see, when we fail to obey the Lord, we simply put, can be cut off. And if we turn our backs to Jesus, we can be cut from the vine. And being cut off is hard. And if we cut off from Jesus or cut off in our spiritual lives, there truly are very great eternal consequences. Cutting off in our own lives can also be pretty hard to do. But know that there are indeed in life necessary endings. There can be necessary endings to imbalanced, to unhealthy or dying commitments, relationships, habits, and more elements of our lives. But what about cutting back? With cutting back, real growth is promoted. There are times in our lives where it's absolutely necessary to cut back. We may be disciplined in some way, or we may be called to practice disciplined living in order to progress towards our goals, to strengthen ourselves, our faith, our character. And it might look like letting go of the excess. Letting go of the excess in our lives, maybe evaluating your time or your resources so that you can be most fruitful in a whole variety of domains across your life. And it's really critical because today's world moves what feels like a speed of a million miles per minute. It's really crucial to remember that our time is a resource, and using it for his good often requires pruning. It requires pruning and cutting back from worldly distractions, so that we can really invest in our relationship with Christ, our relationships with other people, and to really truly be fruitful as followers of Jesus in today's world. Cutting back can truly be an act of love. The NLT Life Application Guide, it's a study guide I use and reference often. It points out that across John chapter 15, we get this reminder that being fruitful, it can include a whole variety of things. So it might not be the same for all of us, but it can include things like soul winning, answered prayer, joy. And when we talk about joy in this context, and really in lots of the gospel, we're not talking about transient or circumstantial situational joy. It's the kind of joy that permeates even the toughest of life circumstances. It's this unshakable joy that we find in Jesus. It's love. We have this incredible chance to really stand out from the worldly crowd and to live a life that reflects his fruit in us. It's the fruit of his spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we're reminded, fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And really, who wouldn't want those characteristics to describe them or your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in us. It's working through us that really allows us to love and to be loved in this world. It's the fruit of the Spirit that allows us to be fruitful. And the amazing truth is that Christ, the ultimate vine, gives us all of this, gives us all that we need and so much more. The vine nourishes us. So how can we tend to our lives in a way that keeps us close and connected to the one true vine? How can we receive his love so that we're able to go out into the world and then share his style of love with other people? And with other people, it of course includes fellow believers, but it also includes the rest of the world. And we are so, so loved. So how can we tend to our own hearts and our own lives in a way that keeps us healthy, fruitful, and living like Christ? Receiving and then overflowing with his style of love. And there's lots of ways to do that. We're gonna hone in on four things today to really get us to dive in on tending to our lives so that we can be fruitful. Tending to your relationship with Christ. Consider how you tend to others, your resources, and how you tend to yourself. So tending to your relationship with Christ. The good life is one that comes from being close to Jesus. The good life is one that comes from being close to Jesus. In John 15, verses 7 through 11, Jesus says this, "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Yes, your joy will overflow." So this idea of receiving and living in the love of God, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. Your joy will overflow. Remain in my love. And when life is good and things are going our way, the truth, it's easy to accept. It's easy to accept the love of God when things are good. But sometimes, in the face of hardship, our human hearts can get confused, and that simple truth can feel fleeting or difficult to understand. It can feel more difficult, but we can and we must stay grounded in the joy and the foundation that's provided when we are in a consistent relationship with Christ. Consistent relationship with Christ. So seeking the Lord and staying close to the vine, it's essential. It's the very best way to tend to your life. It's the very best way to get nourishment for your soul. And we can know that we find true joy. Joy that will overflow deeply. We can be truly joyful. And just like all relationships, it's a two-way street. This is a two-way street. The Lord wants us to remain in him, and we can absolutely answer that call. We can obediently build solid routines of spending time in scripture. We can study his word. We can get to better understand his truth, because it is tough to avoid leaning on your own understanding when you don't know scripture. When you don't know God's word, it's really easy to lean on your human understanding. Spending intentional time in prayer, lifting praises and requests to the Lord, talking to God and seeking wisdom and guidance over your life. Seeking his guidance and his wisdom over your life is key. Praying is very much talking with God. And it really can be a vehicle to deepen your relationship with him. Opening your heart and your mind through a regular prayer life and prayer activity can really better allow you to receive his love for you. Can help you to be in consistent relationship with him and to follow his call on your life. And in times of question and in doubt, and let's be honest, both of those things can happen to any one of us. Both of those things do happen to us. So we don't have to hide it in shame, because it can be really, really helpful in times of question or doubt or hurt to simply tend to it by way of seeking guidance or input or mentorship from other believers. Because such support can help us to stay strong in our decision to live like Jesus, even when, and especially when, we are distracted and dealing with worldly temptations. We can tend to our relationship with Christ by prioritizing time spent in regular rhythms of worship, along with routine patterns of time engaged in fellowship with other believers. Because when we prioritize our lives in a way where we keep Christ at the center, it's so, so worth it in the end. And it really can. It can require intentionality and pruning, but it's so, so worth it in the end. It's also really important to tend to others. It's an inevitable part of being a human being. And tending well to others, it's a critical part of being on mission with Jesus. Don't miss that. Tending to other people is a critical part of being on mission with Jesus. We're all missionaries who are called to share the gospel. We're also compelled to live our lives in a way that announces the reign and rule of the Lord through our choices, our actions, our interactions, through our lifestyles, really. And much of our missional work comes through interactions and care for other human beings, and that inherently makes things messy. As we lovingly tend to others, we're simply seeking to love them like Jesus would, and allowing his character to overflow through us. Again, in John 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So Jesus is telling us here that we must practice sacrificial love to live like him. He wants us to go out in the world, to tend to others, to care for others, to love and care and tend for others to the best that we really can, and then to go out and do it some more. And while there are a lot of ways to go about doing this, and it might not always look like dying for someone, there are some basics that we can all start with. You can start by simply reaching out to someone to let them know they're loved, to let them know that you are a safe and consistent presence for them. So right now in this moment, maybe there's someone who's coming to mind that you're feeling called and led to be intentional in how you share love with them. So make note of that. Be intentional in identifying who that might be for you. And if someone comes to heart, follow through. Too often in life, those things are left unsaid. So go ahead, commit right now to reaching out to someone in your life who might be amidst a struggle, or you simply can feel compelled to love well. And then let them know. This might lead to new opportunities for listening, which is another great way to tend to others. And listening might feel easy on the surface, but listening well can be tricky, and truly it can be time consuming. It's not often quick. It requires time and presence and your full, undivided attention to listen well. It means continuing a conversation even in the face of disagreement, showing up with a gentle and loving heart again and again. Remember, we go out and we love, and then we go out and do it some more. And along the way, as you're listening to your loved one, to your dear one, you might even have the opportunity to encourage them along the way. Tending to others can take the form of practical support to lighten the load of that dear one, a meal, childcare, running an errand, pulling weeds, mulching, just being willing and ready to go out of your way, to go out of your way to support somebody with gentle, meaningful, and intentional care. And don't miss this. Part of loving others is sharing truth, and doing so gently and with great care. As 2 Timothy 2:25 says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. We know the gospel and the way that we can be transformed in Christ. We know it and we are excited by it. And as we love each other and others deeply, we should go out and share this truth so they can get in on it too. This can happen very directly, and it can also happen in the context of mutual relationship, friendship, especially friendship, as we proclaim the gospel with our lives and our everyday interactions. And as we support others, it is very possible, quite likely, that we're going to interact with sin, which can be tough. I look at what Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone has caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. If someone has caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Tending to others, even in the face of sin, requires loving gentleness and self-sacrificial care. We're called to support others who might feel lost, who might indeed be lost, as they are restored by the King. So how about tending to your resources? It's a critical part of our lives. And how we tend to, how we use our resources, things like our time, our finances, your worldly possessions, your stuff, it all matters. And you can make intentional choices about how you use all of these things. And it's important to tend to them wisely. So consider your own life. Do you have any clutter? Is there pruning that needs to happen? Do you need to cut back in some areas to allow yourself to focus more on your relationship with Christ and others? Do you need to cut back on certain activities or the pursuit of toys, no matter what your age, so that you can be less distracted? I might suggest tending to your schedule. We live in a really fast-paced world, and busyness, it seems to be very highly valued. And I said earlier today that I don't even think that busyness seems to be highly valued. I believe that it is. And yet your time is a treasure and needs to be used with great care and great intentionality. We can offer our time to be with God in a variety of ways that will look very different for each one of us based on who we've been created to be. It can be putting down your phone or whatever other distraction it might be. It could be scheduling time in the Word or scheduling time with your spouse, your children, or other loved ones. It could be time spent in self-care, time serving God and serving other people, any number of valuable ways. But know that when we offer our time to the Lord through serving, working hard, being intentional about what the margin of our lives looks like, we're tending wisely. So what about other resources like banking and investment accounts, your cash flow, your physical assets? Consider how these things influence or impact you. Do you need to tend to your junk? To declutter, to prune and let go of some of the stuff that might be cluttering up your home. Decluttering always feels good in my house when I find a drawer that's no longer full and having to be shoved shut. But what about decluttering your heart and your mind? Is the pursuit of things, is that getting in the way of your spiritual well-being or holding you back from living like Jesus? In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 21, we read, "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Pruning, when it comes to our resources, it can be oh so tough. It's so tough sometimes to let our stuff go, but it also can be life-changing and eternally meaningful to cut off the clutter. Finally, tending to yourself. Don't forget to tend to yourself. Tending to yourself sometimes falls to the very bottom of the list, the bottom of the to-do list, or the priority that comes after everyone or everything else, but it is important. And even if you tend to the other elements of your life domain, if you don't practice appropriate self-care, you can get into trouble and things can get all out of whack. And if you don't take care of yourself, I think it's really hard to take care of anyone else well either. And as you live in Christ's great love, allow yourself some margin to spend time with God. Allow yourself some margin to spend time with those you love. And truly consider practicing Sabbath. Consider practicing Sabbath. In today's world, the idea of margins and Sabbath, they can sound a little bit tough and different, a little foreign from our daily practice. But Sabbath was important to God, and it should be to you. Permit yourself time to cease the activity and the distractions and rest. For me personally, it's probably the toughest domain of my life. I find pruning my schedule very difficult. It's very hard to find time to really allow for proper self-care, and it falls to the bottom of the list, and it's in no way a badge of honor. It's an area for growth. It's an area of true pruning. And I share that this morning because I think it helps us all to know we're all working together. Because here's the thing, as you tend to yourself, just like when we tend to others, you're going to interact with sin. It's something that we all have to tend with in our hearts and in our lives because it's there. We all have it. We can and we absolutely need to address it. We can choose to repent in prayer. We confess. We seek forgiveness. And then we receive grace. And we turn away from sin. And then we try with all of our being to avoid doing it again. Because here's the thing, God is so good. God is so good. And we can receive his forgiveness. We can receive his love even when we don't deserve it. We are imperfect people, all of us. But our God is so good. We can live in the truth of his forgiveness and his grace even when we don't deserve it. And as we tend to ourselves and all the different domains of our lives, at times we might need to seek guidance and mentorship and support from other people. Tending to yourself indeed means that you must practice humility so that you can remain self-aware. You have to be humble enough to be aware of your thoughts and your heart and the wanderings of your mind. You need to be aware of those things to really keep yourself in check, to tend to yourself. So lean into the Lord and seek him in the times of trouble and be encouraged by the words from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. How powerful is that? That's the truth for every one of us. God gives us what we need. With prayer and petition, through support from his followers, and with the Holy Spirit's work within us, God gives us everything we need and more. And as we get ready to close today, consider this. John chapter 15, verse 16 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." God tends to us. God chooses us over and over and over again. And as a child of God, you live in the reality of his love. We are all made free in Christ and can turn to him for all that we need, not only to sustain us, but also to allow us to overflow with his style of love for others. We can stay close to him, stay close to the true vine, and live in ways that we would never dream possible. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the vine, that you nourish us, and you are the perfect provider. Jesus, thank you that you choose us over and over again. Thank you that you took the cross for us. Thank you for your perfect love for us, even though we are so imperfect. Thank you for tending to each one of us so, so well, God. Lord, we ask that you clear our hearts and minds, declutter our lives so that we can know you more fully. Lord, help us so that we can be in deep and consistent relationship with you. Lord, we seek to live lives to be like you, to love like you, and help us, God, to have hearts, to tend well to others. Help our actions get others to know you. Jesus, thank you for all that you are. Thank you that you sustain us fully. God, we ask that we can be productive and bear fruit for you and your kingdom. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.